taste and see him more. Yeah, we pray that we would live by faith. Pray that you would even perfect our faith. So good that we have heard. It's the proof of faith that is expressed in Zion. We need so much evidence of this faith. The Lord wants our faith to be tested, to be made visible. Hebrews 13:7. It says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Yeah, it says, whose faith follow. Those who went before us, they had such a conduct that was full of results or proof, evidence. The faith was visible by what came forth. There was a result of their faith. And we need to follow this faith. That's why we're here. And then it says in verse 9, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. And I'm happy that at the conference we're not just hearing about teaching, but we're really being equipped to live by faith and to also perfect the faith. I thought it was very important to and good to have this focus that the Lord wants to perfect us and he wants to perfect the church. It always has to be really painted before my eyes. And in the last chapter of Hebrews, there's such an emphasis on our being perfected. In chapter 12, it talks about the perfection, but also in Hebrews 13, in verse 20-21, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. So it's good to not just start, but to finish the race. And for this, Hebrews 13 gives us very practical points that are meaningful for us. In Hebrews 13, we also see that it's very much also about the priesthood. We read verse 9. It says, do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. But verse 10 says, we have an altar. There's such a contrast. It says, we have an altar from, amen. And it's so important in the church that in Zion, the altar should be in the center. The worship of the Father should be in the center. It's so good that Hebrews 13 has this focus again and leads us to this point. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. And this shows us that in the Old Covenant, there was an altar, a physical altar. There were physical offerings, physical food. But today, we have a spiritual altar. We have the spiritual reality. And this spiritual altar, yeah, the true offering is Jesus Christ himself. He fulfilled everything that the Word said. And that's what it's about today.
So in unserem Herzen
Yeah, in our hearts, this altar must be so important. And that's why it says in verse 15, because the altar itself, in a way, is empty, or on the altar, something has to be brought, presented. Without the offerings on the altar, then the altar profits nothing in that sense. And then in verse 15, it says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's what we want to come together for. So that the Lord would continually receive a sacrifice of praise to God. And this is just not from one or two people, but Hebrews says from each one of us. It says, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. There should be fruit that comes out of our walk. And this should be a spiritual sacrifice that we bring to God. In the Old Testament, in Leviticus we see that there are five main offerings. And here in Hebrews, it talks about the sacrifice of praise. In the Greek, in Leviticus, it also is used in Leviticus 7:12. It's talking about the peace offering. If he wants to offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened bread, cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. And this showed me that this praise offering, or there's so much food for each one. First and foremost, the food is for God, but then there's also food for the priests. And this is what God wants to work in us, that when we come together, that we bring so much food into his house. We need this food. Without this food, without this strengthening, then whatever we have heard will not be able to be substantiated in our lives. Yeah, we need the best spiritual food, and the best spiritual food is when I experience or when I hear the offerings of all the other priests. This strengthens my faith. It brings me onward. And here there's such a fullness on various kinds of food. Yeah, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil, what we should bring into the house of God. That's why I'm very thankful to the Lord that at the end of Hebrews 13, he puts our focus on this important point again. Amen. Of our faith. The Lord really wants to perfect his work in us. Hebrews is not a book for the beginning, but for the finishing. In Hebrews 11, we see that he has provided something better for us, that they would not be perfected without us or apart from us. The Lord is here to perfect and to finish his work. In this world, we see that the enemy is really focused on doing his thing and to bring his work to completion. But parallel to this, the Lord is here to finish his work. Praise the Lord. It's an inexplicable blessing to live in the time of perfection. We're really living in a time where things will be brought to completion. And in this time, God wants to have something for himself. He wants to have this goal of the unshakable kingdom, an unshakable kingdom which is built with believers. So we see a lot of shaking and a lot of division among the Christians. It's unimaginable. You can't even how many divisions there are, how many groups, how many names. It's countless. It's actually a huge shame. And the question should be, Lord, where is your unshakable kingdom and how can it be brought forth? And the Lord has shown us clearly we need to really apply our faith. And the verses 1 through 6 in Hebrews 13 show us how this unshakable kingdom looks. Let brotherly love continue. If this is missing, then everything will fall apart. If we don't love the saints anymore with our whole heart, if we don't have this place for the saints in our hearts, then things will fall apart. And then the brothers will become our enemies. But the Lord wants to receive an unshakable kingdom. And the first thing he says is, let brotherly love continue. So the question is, how do we gain this brotherly love? Who loves all the brothers? Philip, do you love all the brothers? Regardless of how he is and what he does, you love this brother, you love all the saints. Is that your character? No. In ourselves, we're so limited. You love those who are most similar to you. That's the reason there's so much division. If something happens, then it's over. But the Lord in us, if we apply this faith, has a way. And the Lord has shown us this way so clearly. It's the way of the priesthood. Sometimes I think, well, how can I really lay hold of Christ? How can I take him to be such a person as described in Hebrews 13, 1-6? How can I enter into this point to really live out the brotherly love? Where do I need to turn? How can I turn? And the Lord turns us to himself as the peace offering, for example. Exactly, at the peace offering, what does the priest receive to eat? It's the breast. It's the love. And then verse 9 and 10 of Hebrews 13, it says, do not let yourselves be tossed about by various and strained doctrines. If we just talk about this, where will the building be? If it's only about the doctrine, then the letter kills. Or what's your understanding of this and that? We will not be able to build this unshakable kingdom. And we see this everywhere. You can study theology. You study God, so to say. You study the scripture, and what ends up coming out? Division. You can no longer agree on one thing. And even if you have the same agreement on the teaching, you can't be one. Where does this come from? Because the teaching will not make our hearts be established. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. If we're only in this area of doctrines and be brought, tossed to and fro, if there's a new knowledge and you found another YouTube pastor, then okay, then that's the real thing. And after 5 years, you go there and here, and this is really a pity to see this. Where does this come from? It's woeful. It's because you just occupy yourself with doctrine. Do not be carried away with various and strange doctrines, for it is good. Let the heart be established by grace. Yeah, not with foods. So the food that I eat as a priest decides how established my walk is with the Lord and how much the Lord can grow within me. And the unshakable kingdom can only come through the growth of life in us. I went outside after the meeting and saw there was huge fighting between the kids. And then half an hour later, they were all playing together again. But if we stay as kids and stay as spiritually kids, then we will always have arguments. But if we grow through food, through healthy food, then the Lord will be able to build something steadfast with us, and we need the right food. Not food that does not profit any of us. I met a sister before. She had shelves of doctrines and books, and she realized that none of this helped her and it didn't establish her. But what should we do? We have a library? No. We have a seminar? We have an altar. Amen. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. If you have all the blueprints of God's building in the scripture, what's in the center? The altar. If you look at the temple of Ezekiel, and if you put a diagonal through the temple, what's in the center? It's the altar, because it's about the food for God. So in the Old Covenant, there was an altar, and in the New Testament, there's still an altar. It didn't say they had an altar, but it says in verse 10, we have an altar. Not like the Catholics, who have some really terrible, horrible thing there. No, it says we have an altar from where we can eat. And this is in the center of God's house. That's not our concept. I don't think we hear this so often, or one doesn't hear it so often, and inwardly sometimes maybe there's something a little against it, because we often just have a lot of teaching as well. Yeah, we have an altar. And for whom is this altar? It is for the priests. And Peter also said, we are priests and we have food from the altar. These are the offerings. It's not animal sacrifices. We're not bringing any animals anymore. But 1 Peter 2 says that they're spiritual offerings. And today Christ is the fulfillment of these spiritual offerings. Verse 11 says, how does he come to the point that we still have an altar to eat from? It says in verse 11, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned outside the camp. This was in the Old Covenant. And then he says, therefore, Jesus also. Why does he speak about the Lord now? Because the Lord is the fulfillment. We don't do dark things that the Catholic Church does, that do horrible things. This is nothing that the word is talking about here. It's not about mass or anything like that. But here, the word says that Jesus is this true offering. These bodies of the animals was on the Day of Atonement. And then it says, verse 12, therefore Jesus also. That means he is the fulfillment, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. This is a wonderful revelation here. He is the fulfillment of this offering that brings about reconciliation and atonement between him and his people. And if he is the fulfillment of this offering, he for sure is the fulfillment of all the other offerings. Every Christian believes that he is the fulfillment of the trespass offering. Yeah. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The Lord is the fulfillment of the Lamb who was slaughtered. And then here, Paul also says Jesus is also the fulfillment of the sin offering. But the Lord is surely not only the fulfillment of the sin offering, but all the other offerings that are written in this, in the scriptures. And this is what brings us to perfection. If we learn to lay hold of this Christ in faith, by faith. So if we don't have love, we need Christ as our peace offering. To tell the Lord, Lord, you are my peace. How can we have peace with all the saints? We have to turn to the Lord. We have to lean upon him and tell him, Lord, you are our peace. Is this not something wonderful? But we can take the Lord, even though we don't have a way in ourselves. And God's goal is so high. His goal is perfection. Can you imagine that? Everyone should become the same as the Lord. Do you serve as the Lord served? And I also don't serve yet like the Lord. But the Lord wants to perfect us. He wants us to take him by faith. And tell him, I now claim you to serve you. I take you to be transformed and to not be so hard towards other people, so natural, so restricted, so narrow, so crooked. But Lord, I need your fine humanity. The meal offering has fine flour. Which one of us is so fine? But let each one of us walk by faith. Yeah, and take the Lord as our wonderful meal offering, and then this is true food. And if we do this, and lay hold of him by faith, and verse 15 says, then by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, not through ourselves, not by ourselves, but by him. So God not only wants us to experience it, but he wants us to bring it. And this is the fruit of our lips. A sacrifice of praise, you might think, okay, I sit down at the Lord's table and I say, Father God, I praise you. Is that the praise offering? Might be a praise, but it's not yet a praise offering or a sacrifice of praise. If you have a sacrifice of praise, you have to have something. There has to be something there. It can't just come out of your lips or over your lips. But there has to be substance there. There has to be a reason for it. You can bring a praise, but you cannot bring a sacrifice of praise just like that. It says it's the fruit of our lips. That means something has grown. There is fruit in this praise. If we praise him and there's fruit there, and it's very different from praising him just because we know he's done a lot for us and we know that we should praise him. As the Israelites were on the other side of the Red Sea and praised him, there was something behind this praise. It wasn't just, oh God, we praise you out of tradition on Sunday. Yeah, because on Sunday all Christians praise God. But many do it out of tradition. They do it just from their lips. Is God satisfied with this? God will say, haven't I given you more? Where is the offering? Where is the reason, the substance of this Christ that I have given you? And the Lord doesn't want us to have an empty praise, but a bull. This is from Hosea 14. It says the bulls of our lips, not just the fruit of our lips. That's in Hosea 14, 2 or 3. We bring you the bull of our lips. That means there has to be something there. There has to be a reason. There has to be substance behind it. And this makes us well-pleasing to God. It shouldn't just be something of teaching. If it's just doctrine, then there will be fighting, then there will be division. We realize this, we experience this ourselves. Some people wanted to just make theory or doctrine out of this, and then at the end, people just were divided. But I don't want the teaching. I want the reality. I apply my faith to be established in it. And this is how the Lord will perfect us. So let us bring more bulls from our lips when we come to the feast. This will establish us. The feast will make us steadfast, not the teaching. I think everyone who has begun to exercise this can testify that the priestly service makes us more steadfast. It establishes us. It changes us. And regardless of how high God's standard is, we have a way. We have Christ as all these wonderful offerings. And we take them, claim them by faith. This is how the Lord will perfect us. And what's the result? It's what's in 20 and 21. The God of peace. The peace offering is in the middle of all the feasts because it is the fruit. This praise offering is the peace offering because this is where the perfection leads. The city of peace must have established peace, solid peace, unshakable peace with us, with God and between one another. It says, the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work, to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. Amen. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord has given us a vision, he has given us the way, and he has given us the faith. And with this, all of us can make it together. Praise the Lord. May the grace of the Lord be with us all. Let's read verse 20 and 21 again together. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work, to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.